Hi, this is Leslie Hoban Blake, Vice President of the Drama Desk and co-host of Two on the Isle. And I'm talking with my old friend David Lefkowitz on Dave's Gone By on UNC Radio.
Here on the Total Theater 10th Annual Tony Special with me, Dave Lefkowitz, on UNC Radio. Happy to have an old, long-time friend of myself and the show, colleague as well. She's been on here a few times before, especially on our Tony shows. She is the Vice President of the Drama Desk, and she has also taken over the reins as co-host of Two on the Isle on Manhattan Cable Television. Well, we all know that one because our friend Charles Gross has also been a guest on this episode of the Tony Special. So please welcome Leslie Hoban Blake back to the neighborhood. Welcome, Leslie.
I just feel so old, David, after that introduction.
Yeah, I'm sorry I threw that word in there. I meant like old friend, not old person, kind of.
I was with you on your honeymoon cruise, so, you know.
And that was in the 1920s, so.
Explain that one to your audience another time.
Well, I apologize. I didn't mean it to sound like that, but I did mean it to sound like you are indeed an old friend and an old colleague.
So. I'm happy to be.
Proud to know you and proud to have you on our Tony Show talking about the category of Best Direction of a Play. And the nominees are Tim Carroll for Twelfth Night, Michael Grandage for The Cripple of Inishmon, Kenny Leon for Raisin in the Sun, and John Tiffany for The Glass Menagerie. Leslie, your thoughts?
Well, I always like the fact that you give me the direction because I'm a director, so I feel that I have an insight into what is being done that perhaps the average theater goer might not have, not even the average critic.
Okay.
And as a result, I would like to go play by play with those that I don't want, that I wasn't happy with. How about that?
Go for it.
John Tiffany's Glass Menagerie made me so angry I wanted to get up on the stage and hit somebody. Him, not the actors, the poor actors who were stuck with what he gave them.
Oh my gosh. Why do you say that?
I thought Cherry Jones gave her best performance ever, ever, ever. But he had people coming out of the sofa cushions and weird stairways. This is one of the most, I know Tennessee Williams notes say that this is a non-realistic play, but in reality, it is one of the most realistic plays he ever wrote. And as a result, I mean, it's a memory play. That's
right.
The part that's not realistic. And so all the other cockamamie stuff that he did just annoyed me.
Laura comes out of the couch at the very beginning of the show. She sort of appears out. But I mean, that's 10 seconds. That bothered you for the whole rest of the show?
It did, because whoever comes out of a couch, memories don't come out of a couch. You know,
cockroaches do.
I've had memories all my life, and they never came out of a couch.
All right, so that bothered you. What about some other director in the category that you weren't that crazy about their work?
Kenny Leon's Raisin in the Sun, I thought was wonderful in that it gave LaTanya Richardson a chance to come back to the stage. And as good as he was, I never believed Denzel Washington was a young man. I'm sorry. He dyed his hair, and he was so great in Fences where he played his own age. But he was trying so hard to be young that a lot of the stuff just annoyed me. Again, I get annoyed a lot now. I've been doing this for a long time.
Well, he wasn't trying. Let's also be fair again. They've bumped his age up by 5 years. So he's already a middle-aged man. He's just younger than Denzel Washington is by about 10 years.
Excuse me. Since when has 40 been middle-aged? Forgive me, but that's not middle-aged. Denzel is almost 60.
Oh, okay, well.
We're talking about a 20-year age difference, pretty much, you know, so come on. He's a good actor, and he shouldn't have had to be trying to play young at the same time that he was playing the character.
Fair enough, okay.
That was an error in judgment. I know that was to get audience in. We have to do all kinds of things, but, you know, there were other plays out there that they might have, or a new play might have been wonderful, too.
Well, that's fair.
I'm not jumping over at all. Michael Grandage's The Cripple of Inishmon, I thought, was very well done. If I hadn't seen it about 4 years ago at the Atlantic Theater Company, I would have thought this was the best play that I saw, except that it wasn't as funny as I had seen it. I was falling off the chair the first time I saw it. And I was waiting to be that amused this time, and I wasn't. And I thought, isn't that interesting? It went somehow, the sentimentality of it got in the way. So, and I did think that it was a brilliant and unsung performance by Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe, yeah. Yeah, he did not get a Tony nomination.
I thought he desperately deserved a nomination.
Cool, so that means
I'm going to get to my winner.
Yeah.
And that is Tim Carroll, who did A Twelfth Night for the Ages. For the Ages. And by the way, this was done 12 years ago when Mark Rylance was still running the Old Globe in London.
Mm-hmm.
I had the good fortune to see it there, standing for the whole thing when I could stand 12 years ago. I just thought this was such a brilliant thing to bring to Broadway, such a fantastic experience for people who've never traveled to London, who don't know this much about Shakespeare, to be able to see a play in the manner of the Elizabethan Shakespearean companies was just divine, I thought.
And was his Richard III up to snuff, too?
No, I didn't think the Richard III was up to snuff, but that was because of the way they chose to go. I don't think he's a comic figure. I think he has a villain with comic touches, but I didn't like what Rylance did. So I'm talking only about The Twelfth Night.
Okay.
And The Twelfth Night was nominated, so I don't have to talk about the
other. Well, no, there was one other show that was not nominated for Best Direction that you think, if they had a fifth slot open, should have been?
The best shot that I would like to see open would have been for Mice and Men with Anna Dee Shapiro out of Chicago. There were only two women who were even in the running, Lee Silverman for Violet and Anna Dee Shapiro. No, actually,
Violet's a musical, so it wouldn't have been in this category.
But I think, was it Pam McKinnon on The Realistic Jones?
Yeah.
I would like to throw in a word for the ladies, and I thought of Mice and Men was a very fine, if kind of ordinary revival. It was a very straightforward revival, but nonetheless, she did a beautiful job with that cast.
Well, see, what if they did up Mice and Men and the characters came out of chairs and furniture? Then it wouldn't be ordinary anymore, but then you'd be complaining.
Screw you, David.
There we go. We've been old friends for 25 years. And
that's one of the ones you'll have to cut out, David. Sure.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Leslie Hovan Blake.
Okay, my dear. Do we have time to talk about any of my other things, or should we just stick with this?
Well, I was going to ask you your favorite show of the season.
Well, no, I have a favorite show of the season that wasn't on Broadway.
What was it?
And my favorite show of the season that wasn't on Broadway was the show about Susan Sontag down at the New York Theatre Workshop.
Oh, what was it?
I thought was absolutely brilliant. It was, I don't recall the title, it was something Susan Sontag. And it was a multimedia production that was just superb. A one-woman show based on the writings of Sontag, using multimedia and using the actress being projected as well as talking so that she could be younger and older at the same time. It was just brilliant. Because it's not the same as having two actors do that kind of thing.
Cool.
And I'm sorry, I don't have any more information on it other than that's what it was, but it was just superb. And it was intellectually stimulating, which is something I look for these days. However, if you want to get back to like other kind of stuff, I mean, you know, it was wonderful to see Cabaret come back. I thought
Michelle Williams
was totally overlooked. I thought she did a brilliant job. I had never seen that role played quite like that, and I really, really liked it. It was so not Liza, you know.
Oh, well.
It's so hard to break away from that, and she found a way to do it that was just lovely.
Now, Leslie, let me ask you for our last question. We've been asking a lot of the critics this. Where are you going to be on Tony night? Where are you going to be watching?
Either in the hospital or in rehab. I'm going to have my knee replaced. I waited right until as close to the Drama Desk Awards right after that as I could so that I could be part of my organization. And then I'm having my left knee replaced completely.
Oh, wow. And you had the other knee done a couple of years ago.
I had the other right one done, right? And I'm standing on that one pretty well. So now I want to have the left one done. I'm going to be bionic pretty soon.
You would tell the story. Was it the other knee or this knee where you were actually interviewing someone and fell?
That was the year that they had the movie Nine, and I was interviewing Rob Marshall as the Waldorf Astoria. And I was only 5 months out, and I was doing beautifully, 5 months after my knee had been replaced. And I walked into the room where he was sitting, and I slipped on a little 12-inch piece of shiny floor, and I went flying in like a 360 cartoon Wile E. Coyote kind of ball on the knee. And he came running over, and I said, no, I'm too heavy. Don't try to lift me. And he said, but I'm a choreographer. And then he put his arms under me, and he lifted me, because he knew how, you know.
Brilliant.
It was funny but sad at the same time, because I really hurt my progress at that point. But it was worth it for that story, if nothing else.
Exactly. There you go. It's a story you can always tell, Leslie Hoban Blake. Well, it has been a delight having you once again in the neighborhood, wishing you certainly quick recuperation. It won't be quick, because knees are like that.
But you're a dear to wish me, and I'll see you soon, I hope.
I hope so, too. Leslie Blake, thanks again.
Don't drop by, you hear?
You got it. Bye-bye now.
Take care, sweetie. Bye-bye.